Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Film.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, Premiership. Let us start with our teams. How excited are you for Chelsea?
I'm very excited. I mean, if anything, only because this season can only be better than last season.
Yeah.
There's only one way.
You hope.
Yeah. I would hope. I don't see us having quite as horrible a season two in a row. I mean, it doesn't seem that likely. Other than that, it seems pretty good. I don't know who we're going to buy. I haven't really heard much. I guess part of it's been a bit on ice whilst Conte was busily with the Italian team at Euros, and now that he'll hopefully be able to start to see some movement there for Chelsea.
I want to say that I'm pretty sure Chelsea have already bought somebody, because the coach is bringing somebody from Juventus with him.
I can't remember as well. There was a name being bandied around on it.
But everybody seems to think N'Golo Kante is going to go to Chelsea. Your thoughts on that? Well, he's a great player. One of the reasons why Leicester won the Premiership last season.
I mean, and it was one of the reasons why we perhaps didn't play quite as well last year, is that our defensive midfielders seemed to fall apart. And in previous years, defensive midfield quite a strong position for us.
There was a rumour going around before Willian re-signed his contract that Mourinho would have offered Mata back to Chelsea in exchange for Willian.
All right.
I'm not sure Chelsea would have taken that.
No. Probably
Look,
not.
We both love Mata, right?
We both love.
And I'm sure Chelsea fans and United fans love Mata.
Yeah.
He's always been a very respectful player. He's always loved the fans. And
it's actually going to be interesting if he stays at United.
I don't think United fans would begrudge him going back to Chelsea, because that would just be him going, look, I'm going back to the team I was with. And, like, you know.
And it sort of makes sense. It's like Mourinho. I don't know if Mata works in any Mourinho's.
No, Mata just does not work in any Mourinho formation, but Mata is a great player.
Yeah.
And if you can fit him in your formation, if you're playing that sort of a team, there are very few better players than him at doing what Mata does.
Yeah.
In the Premiership, anyway.
Yeah. I would like him back. I mean, if we could get him, but I'm not sure. I wouldn't really want to get rid of Willian for him, I don't think. And where he would fit in, I'm not 100% sure either at the moment. In that, we, assuming our attacking midfielders all start playing again and don't be like last year where they didn't play.
The other rumour is Cesc Fabregas is going to follow Mourinho to United.
Whilst that is a loss for us, I'm not actually that worried about it. Fabregas, whilst being a very class player, also I actually don't see him doing that. He was one of the players last year that was throwing a tizzy at Mourinho, and he miraculously got a lot better form after Mourinho left. It was just, wow, look, Fabregas is playing well again. I wonder why that was. Oh, because you're being all upset because Mourinho taking claim for something. So I don't really see why Fabregas would go to United with Mourinho. I could possibly see why Mourinho would want Fabregas. And, I mean, I'd be happy to swap Fabregas for Mata, personally, in the Chelsea team. That would work for me.
Yep.
Especially if we were getting Kante to play into that defensive midfielder role. Let's say we might see how it goes.
Well, on the flip side, I'm going to begin with similar thoughts as you did. I'm looking forward to our next season because I can't see it being worse than Louis van Gaal. Last season under Louis van Gaal. Look, we have a lot of concerns at United, I think a lot of fans, with Mourinho, especially with the style of play. Nobody thinks that Mourinho can't win things at United. That is not the problem.
No.
But it's never been enough to win things.
Yeah.
You know, there is the United way. And, like, Mourinho's promised and he talks a good talk, but we all know what his teams do, you know? And, heck, maybe that's what we need. After the last season with Louis van Gaal, I'm kind of like, even Mourinho's more attacking than this. If we can put up with 3 seasons of Van Gaal, we better sit down and shut up and take 3 seasons of Mourinho, if he's winning stuff.
Yeah.
That being said, Mourinho's already bought players. He's got Eric Bailly at right back, and I think that definitely was a position we needed to shore up.
Yeah, I agree.
We have Darmian, and we have Valencia who can play there, but, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with Luke Shaw being injured all of last season, Darmian's season kind of fell apart because he had to move to the left flank, and it's always good to shore up your defense with good players, especially in fullbacks. Fullbacks might be the new strikers now, with you can never have too many.
Yeah, and Mourinho does like having good fullbacks.
Yeah.
His fullbacks are players that he likes to have them solidly defensive-minded, but who come forward and provide that extra man in the attack.
Yep.
So getting not surprised that he first looked at your guys' fullbacks and went, you need a better one here.
Yeah, and Luke Shaw can do what Mourinho wants. Yeah, yeah. If he can stay injury-free.
Well, Mourinho wanted Luke Shaw for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So now that he's moved to the club that got him, he'd be like, sweet, that's sorted.
And that being said, like, they have capable young players who are capable young fullbacks. Fosu Mensah has looked very impressive last season. Borthwick Jackson looked very impressive last season. I mean, they can both play in the fullback roles, and they can also play in the centre-back roles at the moment. I believe Borthwick Jensen is better at fullback from what little I saw of him, but I think Fosu Mensah could easily become, like, similar to William Gallas at his peak, who can play
just
all along
across
the do it well without complaints. I think.
Well, I don't know how much Gallas was without complaints. He did it very well, but he always ended up in positions that he disliked the most because those were the easiest positions to fit him into.
Mm-hmm.
But
we also have Chris Smalling, Daily Blind. I don't know how much longer he will play. Like, Mourinho prefers a bit more strength in that defense. And there are rumors that we are looking to buy another centre-back.
Oh.
But Paddy McNair is also very capable, young player that he is. Marcus Rojo, I feel, might end up leaving. He's just not solid enough in the defensive role and isn't versatile enough.
Yeah, and that
you either need to be really good in one position like Luke Shaw is, or you need to be able to do a lot of things reasonably well for Mourinho.
Yeah, as I say, for Mourinho, I don't know if he's going to be quite the player that Mourinho can work with, really. And as we saw in Chelsea in his last stint with Mata, if you don't fit into Mourinho's system, that's it. You're gone, and he buys in the players that do.
Well, other than Mata, who we know doesn't fit into Mourinho's system, Ander Herrera, who possibly is also seeing the last of his last days. I don't know about Mourad Fellaini. I feel like Mourinho will keep him because of his versatility.
Yeah.
Michael Carrick has been given an extra year, and I think Mourinho is keeping that purely as a stability thing.
I think Fellaini will be a bit of a wait-and-see thing.
Yeah.
I think he's the sort of player that Mourinho will give a chance to, but one chance. And if he doesn't do what Mourinho wants, that'll be it. He'll be like, no.
And we know the player who's going to be the focus of the attack because Henrik Mkhitaryan has moved in. And he's a very good player. I can imagine him doing quite well. He's also 27, so he's at the right age to kind of be at his peak. But it'll be interesting to see what he does with the young players. Your Adnan Januzaj, your Andre Pereira, and Jesse Lindegaard. I think, apart from Januzaj, Lindegaard had a really good breakout season last year.
Yeah.
And Pereira is a really young player, and he had a reasonable season. Lindegaard is a bit older than both of them, so he's obviously further along in his development, and he's shown it those extra years. Also, Bastian Schweinsteiger might have, I don't know if he will have a further career under Mourinho. His days might be numbered.
That said, Schweinsteiger is the sort of player that Mourinho does work with and does like to have. He likes to have those slightly older heads in the centre area, give them a task and they do it, and he builds up from them. So that's the base of his team, and then he adds the flair on top of that.
Yeah.
So
we've shown last season that you can't have Schweinsteiger and Carrick partner with Schneiderlin. Schneiderlin, good as he is, still needs someone attacking in with him, because Schneiderlin's perfectly capable of staying in front of that defense and being the perfect defensive midfielder. And he's very good at that. And Mkhitaryan will probably take a bit more of an attacking role in the formation. So it leaves that front three in front of them very open. We do have Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I don't know how many games he will play and how many games he'll start.
I don't know if he'll... you never know if Mourinho, he might decide to start. I don't know if he'll start many, but I see him as being your guy's impact player. He'll come off... He'll be on the bench and he'll come on at the 60-minute period, and Rooney will look to use him to make the impact, change a game.
Yeah, and we've already got Rooney as well. So we've got two older heads who, and I think Zlatan will just be a really big influence in training and like teaching players like Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford and James Wilson. The future of United's forward line is great. Like, James Wilson is like a speed demon. Great player. Doesn't quite have that killer instinct for goals yet, but he's still very young. Marcus Rashford just has that goal-scoring ability, that touch that you need. Well, he's very young, 18, so he has a second season syndrome this season, we shouldn't be too hard on him. He can definitely come back. And I think Anthony Martial is just... the deal, you know, like he is he's not going to have a second season syndrome as much as he's like, go ahead, my second season is I'm used to playing in English football. I already know what I'm doing and, you know.
And I think, with Zlatan and Wayne Rooney there, that you guys are, so you got the nice old calm heads to settle the young bucks down and make sure that they have a good second season, that they, get themselves sorted and know what needed. And if they do run into a bad patch of form, they're there to sort of say, hey, look, kid, it's not that, you know, these things happen, don't worry about it, keep believing yourself, keep doing these things, you're doing these things well, so just, and it'll come, you know, and you've got the older guys there for if the young guys are having that bad period or something, you know, you can just say, oh, look, just take it onto the training period, do it, and we'll just, you know, Rooney and Ivanovic can take over for a couple of games, and you're not going to lose a bit of pace, but you're not going to lose that that goal scoring ability, so.
That's definitely a thing. Like, so attack wise I'm quite hopeful. I think the midfield is, Louis van Gaal has done a lot of work already, like building up these young players. We're gonna hopefully see the fruits of that. I feel bad for him that he had to leave after winning the FA Cup. I think that was very disrespectful. With what little he was given, I think he's done really well with the youth system, and because it was in disarray before he was there. Alex Ferguson effectively kind of wrote it off. And it's like better now and it's improving. But I don't know that Mourinho gives much of a shit about the youth system in any club he's at.
Oh, he sort of does.
He pretends to.
But yeah, so he sort of does, but it is something that he would, I don't think he has as much interest in, more than not giving a shit, I just don't think he has interest in it. So it's a useful thing, but if you have guys, if you've got someone else who can run it for him and do well and know what's there, he'll continue doing his thing, and if good players pop out of it, he's going to make use of them. But like with the Chelsea youth system, the Chelsea youth system to Mourinho was a cash generating thing. You created players or loaned them out for a couple of seasons, to make sure they got a bit of experience, and then you sold the good crop off. Anybody else, you just went, yeah, whatever, and didn't worry about them anymore. That said, Mourinho was good at spotting, well, reasonably good at spotting good youth talent. Generally, that was from abroad, which he then brought into the team and loaned back to the original team and let them develop there before actually bringing them into the main team. But so, who knows, he may continue that sort of concept.
Apparently, I don't know how many more players he's looking to buy. Mourinho, there was a rumour, we all know the Pogba rumour, and I think if Man United got Pogba, that's it. They're probably one of the favourites to win the Premiership. They don't have to deal with they only have, the Europa Cup to deal with? They don't have Champions League football to deal with, and they're also thinking they're going to get Matuidi, potentially, they're going for both. Matuidi is more likely, but if they get Pogba as well, because Pogba, we all know, wants to go to Barcelona and Real Madrid, but the problem is at the moment Barcelona and Real Madrid have issues with tax and things that they're being looked at, so they can't blatantly splash as much money as they would like to. So if Man United spend $100 million, get Pogba, and two seasons from now sell him for $200 million, that works for me.
Yes. What I find crazy about that is those numbers being bandied about. When you think about back just a few years, where $100 million would be good money, and it still is good money now. But for someone like Pogba...
We're not blinking an eyelid at $100 million for a player like Pogba. Nobody here thinks that would be too much to pay.
No,
We questioned whether Gareth Bale was worth $100 million. We did.
At one point, yes.
I think even now, $100 million is a big price tag to go for. To be fair to Gareth Bale, he's only worth $99 million. So his
just give him the extra money, it'll be fine.
But they got that discount, Mourinho, you know, it's 99, it was in the bargain bin, and
It's but just like the 99 cent thing.
When you think if Pogba is worth 100 million, the fact that Madrid only paid 80 million for Cristiano Ronaldo, it looks like a steal now. It's yeah, a bargain. We were 80 million, I think, when they sold him for it. Like, I'm not unhappy that we sold him for 80 million. We were kind of like, oh, he's the best player in the world. But, you know, 80 million is 80 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, that's...
It was a good price then. I mean...
It was stupid money. And they were like, look, we're paying you stupid money for him.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be, like, so worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 80 million is probably, like... Well, I think he's probably the world's only $250 million footballer. If anyone were to buy Ronaldo, that's what they'd have to at least offer.
Yeah, quite likely. Yeah. I mean, that's something. I mean, it's just thinking back, it's only 5 years where that money would just be unbelievable, and now it's perfectly reasonable in quotation marks sort of dollar amounts to be talking about for these sort of players.
And similarly, like Zlatan Ibrahimovic was the big name signing we got in the forward line this year. But if he were not coming, I think Man United would be interested in Neymar. Neymar is officially not for sale, and I agree that these players like that are not for sale.
No.
But $150 million, and given Neymar is having tax-related problems and legal issues in Spain, he could just go, look, while I'm not in the hot seat, why don't I leave and go to...
Yeah, get some rest.
Yeah, go to United. Which could,
or Chelsea.
Chelsea or City.
They're City.
Oh, yeah, look, let's be honest. Given the money available to Premiership fans, Premiership clubs now, Leicester can pay that fee.
Yeah.
And I'm not... I don't mean that to be in any way disrespectful to Leicester. They are well capable of paying that fee, but it's not even just Leicester who are champions. If anyone other than Arsene Wenger were in charge of Arsenal, Arsenal could pay that fee. Spurs could pay that fee. And heck, Stoke could probably put in that bid. I doubt Neymar would move to Stoke for $150 million. But he would. Stoke could go, yep, we've got an offer on the table.
They could put their hand up at that auction and go, yep, we're in the running.
And that is the crazy money available to Premiership clubs at the moment. And this is why it's very difficult for teams like your Atletico Madrids and your Juventuses and Borussia Dortmunds to hold their good players. And they're all, money-wise, even in the post-Brexit environment, the England pays them more and can afford to pay them more.
Yeah.
Because even the Premiership is Brexit-proof when it comes to their economy, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, so does the Premiership have to now abide by the Brexit vote and have to kick out all the European stars?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think
they're still part of the EU until...
until they leave.
Yeah. And also, this is way outside the scope of the podcast.
So anyway, woo, outside. In any case, I'm pretty sure that the eligibility rules would still remain the same anyway.
Mm.
It's not much to do with the EU in that case. It's more to do with UEFA.
Mm. Cool. Well, I think that's... So, thanks very much for joining us. We look to see you join us again.
Yeah, see you next time.